There are 85% of youth in prisons grew up in fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated with displaced anger come from fatherless homes. 71% of pregnant teenage girls come from fatherless homes. Children who lived with only one parent had lower grade point averages, lower college aspirations, poor attendance records, and higher dropout rates than students who live with both parents. Wow. Why is this going on? Well, one of the things that we see with our ministry is dads provide security to girls. Boys, they are taught how to be respectable with their dads. When they don't have a mom or a dad in their life is off balance. And we as Christians, we as people in the church, we can help bring God to them, help mentor them, and bring their life back into balance. The Bible says that God will be our Abba Father. And if you look at the root of that, it's talking about he's our daddy.
Stories stir the soul.
Stories reveal.
And stories heal.
In this podcast, we will give you an inside look at someone who's had a life-changing breakthrough.
Real people, real stories with real breakthroughs. As a health and wellness expert and coach, and Todd as a men's mentor,
we've seen firsthand what God can do when it comes to a breakthrough. So lean in, listen well. This could be your biggest breakthrough.
Hello, and welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough. I'm your host, Wendy Pett.
I'm Todd Isburner, and we are so glad that you're tuned in.
I love your excitement, because yes,
really
we
excited.
Are. We are so glad. And you know what else we'd be so glad about?
What's that?
Is if you shared our episode with a friend, a family member, maybe not this episode, but maybe this episode, but maybe some other episode that could help somebody else or inspire them. But also what would be so helpful is if whatever platform you're watching this on, YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, Captivate, I don't know, whatever. There's so many platforms. Could you please give a like, a rating, and a review?
Oh, man.
Like the review is a big deal.
Now you're pushing them.
I know. I'm just pushing just a little bit. Only because the ratings and the reviews actually help to take the podcast up a notch in wherever people find them.
Yeah.
And they will have a better chance in finding us.
So basically we're begging
you.
Please. We're begging you. Please.
Please, please. We have such great guests and great content.
Do.
Which reminds me of our content today. It is great content.
Yeah, no exception whatsoever.
Yeah.
In fact, today's conversation is one that's going to go deep. And for many, this might hit home for you, because we're going to be diving into what's been called America's silent crisis. And listen up, it affects over 18 million kids in our country. And yet it's a topic that we rarely hear addressed from a place of both pain and hope.
Yep. And so that's why we are delighted and honored to have and welcome Sean Tice to Your Biggest Breakthrough. He is the author, speaker, founder of Life Factors Fatherless Ministries. And he's a man with a powerful testimony. Sean was just 9 months old. Gosh, if you can even imagine, when his father threw him across the room in a drunken rage. And today he's a voice of healing and purpose to fatherless individuals across the nation.
Yeah, he and his wife, Jackie, and their three kids literally are traveling across the country, just making this known.
They're
and
doing
sharing
it.
What the opportunities are for healing and for finding purpose in it. They have created so many great resources, and we're going to touch on that a little bit today. There's also a lot of great stuff in the show notes for you as well. But really pay close attention, because if it's not you, someone near you has gone through these experiences.
That's true. That's true. So whether you grew up with an absent father, you're parenting alone, or you're part of a church community wondering, how do I help? How do I help with this situation? This conversation is totally for you, because Sean brings, he brings a lot of wisdom, compassion, great compassion, and a clear message that God can redeem your story, and he can be the father you never had. So enjoy the show.
He talks about God as my dad. Let's find out more.
Well, welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough, Sean Tice. It's so nice to meet you.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Sean, this is one of those subjects where we've never tackled before, and you have such incredible firsthand experience and knowledge about what's going on in fathers' families. But so I'd like us to just jump right back to the very beginning, because it's kind of shocking when we hear that your dad threw you across the room in a drunken rage. And so if you can just take us kind of back to that starting
point. When you
were
9 months old.
Yeah, when you were 9 months old, yeah. And so just the early trauma that you experienced, and then how that helped shape the man that you are today.
Yeah, my dad actually, just even going before that, my dad grew up fatherless. He didn't have a dad. His dad died when he was, I think, about 13 years old. And he grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada. So He went down the path of trying to cope through the world's methods. And so he pursued women, drugs, alcohol. I mean, that's what he went, the path he went down. And so through a party, my mom and dad met when he was visiting Pennsylvania. And they got engaged that night. the night they met and got married soon after that. Neither of them were, well, my dad said he got saved when he was a kid, but he was running from God. Yeah. And then my mom was not a Christian at the time. And so they got married, and their marriage lasted
about, Elvis Chapel or what?
I think in Pennsylvania. So they
Okay.
But it was a quick wedding. I think, you know, reception in the basement of the church, you know, just kind of a quick thing. And they ended up getting married. I think it was, I don't know if it maybe 6 months after, 3 months after or something like that, but they, married about 10 years, and I was the third child that they had. They moved back and forth between Las Vegas and Pennsylvania, and, you know, just a rough marriage. My dad was, he was abusive, was alcoholic. And then when I was about 9 months old, I was the third kid, last kid, and he came home in a drunken rage like he had many times. And he kicked my mom and my brother and my sister out of our trailer that we were living in at the time. And they ran over to the neighbor's house. My mom didn't know what he was going to do with me. And so she got nervous. They got the cops to show up, and once the cops showed up, they demanded that my dad hand me over to them. Instead of gently handing me over, he took me and he threw me across the room to the cops. I'm thankful to this day that cop could catch. Actually, just met one of the cops that was there recently. I'm 40 years old now.
Really?
And so just met one of the, well, that was a really cool experience to meet
him.
Not the one that caught me, but he was there to assist and stuff. And they told my dad that night, they said, we better never see you again, and you're getting put away for a long time. And so he got nervous about that. He got some money wired to him. He got on a bus and went back to Las Vegas, Nevada from Pennsylvania, and never came back. And so that's when I started my fatherless journey. Obviously, I don't remember that situation, but I do remember growing up without a dad and hearing about this guy that was my birth dad and all the different things that went on with that. So yeah, that's my beginning of my story.
So your dad never showed up again. Did you have any contact with him? Have you had any contact with him since?
Yeah, I met him. There was a few times where they were on the phone together, but I never really, it was never for me to like have a conversation with him. But I mean, and I got a few Christmas gifts here and there. You know, I remember getting a Fievel Goes West VHS tape. I don't know if you've ever heard of the cartoon Fievel, maybe some VHS tapes. I remember one time I got a pocket watch that broke soon after. I mean, there's just little things, a couple little things. He tried, you know, he tried a couple things. And I remember that. But there was no attempt at a relationship. And so, you know, I thankfully had a grandfather that stepped in and became like my dad until he died when I was in sixth grade. And then that's when I really started feeling the effects of fatherlessness, because my grandfather passed away. And then I had several mentors that stepped in. But my dad, I met him when I was 15 for the first time in Las Vegas. And it was, you know, one of those it was a weird event. Yeah. My dad was actually working in an adult film shop in Las Vegas. That's what his career was in. He was in films. That's what he did. And so it was just a weird place to meet your dad. My aunt actually took us down there because he wouldn't come see us. And so we're 15 years old, meeting your dad there. It's kind of a weird event. He was nervous. We were nervous. It was just a weird event. I hated my dad up to that point, but then I saw this guy that was just filled with sin and been ruined by the world. And he was just torn and broken because he grew up fatherless. He was trying to figure things out. So I actually felt bad for him at that point, because I'm like, I'm being raised in a church, being raised in a Christian school, having mentors, people pouring into my life, and this guy is just broken. And so, at 15, I was trying to process that. I met him a couple times after that, but then he passed away in 2020. So no relationship really we ever formed or anything like that.
Wow. I can't even imagine that scenario, but I'm thinking about like, what was the turning point that actually got you, you know, first of all, you know, you survived your own story there. But I'm thinking about the stepping into the calling that you have now of helping others that are fatherlessness, like, fatherlessness. Anyway, that's a whole new word. Fatherless. And so I'm just wondering, like, what was that churning inside of you? When did that happen? What was the turning point?
I like to write. And so that was kind of started when I was younger. I had an English teacher that challenged us to write poems and stuff like that. So at some point in junior high, senior high, I felt like I could, you know, form some, and then I won a writing contest my senior year for a scholarship to college. So that was part of it. But then I felt led when I was 15 to go to to become a pastor, to go to school to be a pastor. And wow. So I felt 15 years old, I went to a Bible conference with our youth group. And I felt like, man, if there's anything in life that I would want to do is be in the ministry. And that was just a calling that I had. And I was even told like, hey, you're not going to make any money doing that. And I was fine with that. I wanted to go and follow God. So I went to school to be a pastor. I went to a college down in Jacksonville, Florida. And I just felt like the need to share my story. And so soon after I graduated Bible college with my degree in pastoral theology, I wrote a book for fatherless guys and just shared my story. It's a 30-day journey on how to overcome fatherlessness. And so I thought I was just going to write a book and then go be a pastor, or be a youth pastor. But it was just one of those things that it just ended up being a whole ministry. So we write the book for fatherless guys, and then we started speaking about it, and then wrote a book for fatherless girls, and then wrote a book for single moms. And then we wrote children's books for fatherless children, for motherless children, for orphan and foster care children. And we just kept on going. Then I started speaking around the country. And then I did eventually become a youth pastor, and I did that for a little bit. But then we went full time with our ministry finally in 2019. I was ready to go full time, and we actually bought an RV. And my family, I have three kids, my wife and I, our three kids, we bought an RV and we traveled around the country and spoke in over 200 churches, youth detention centers, conferences, camps, and just spreading awareness about fatherlessness and spreading hope to fatherless families. Wow. And that was 2019, 2020, and 2021. And then we went to Las Vegas and did ministry out there in 2021. And it's just been a whole journey trying to help fatherless families out. Yes.
It sounds to me like this was God's plan from the beginning, your destiny, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned your mom's faith and being brought up sort of in the church culture. Was there a time that you remember where it kind of went from I don't really know Jesus and now I do know Jesus? what occurred during that time?
Yeah, when I remember, so my mom's cousin invited us to go to church. And so we rode the church bus. He was a bus captain. And so back in the day, they used to have churches used to have these big bus ministries. I don't know if you guys remember that, but back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, churches would do these big bus ministries. Sometimes churches would have like 20 buses. They would bus kids in. And we were a family that rode the bus to church. And so we would go on the bus, and my mom eventually became a bus captain, and we were riding this to this church and close to in our hometown. And it was in fourth grade, I was 4 years old in Sunday school. And I remember the teacher saying, "Hey, Sean, would you want to trust Jesus as your savior?" And I, you know, kind of understood it. And I remember sitting there praying and trusting in Jesus as my savior as the only way to get to heaven, realizing that, you know, I'm a sinner. My sin's going to lead me to hell, believing that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose again, he paid the penalty for me, and that I need to trust in Jesus if I want to go to heaven someday, but also have hope on this earth. That's the only way. And so I made that decision. But then I doubted my salvation. And so I remember being at teen camp when I was after my seventh grade year and making the decision to kind of nail it down for good and made that decision to make assurance of my salvation. And really, did I understand it when I was 4 years old, kind of thing? And then there was sometimes wrestle through life as an adult, just making sure, but you know, I just wanted to make sure that I'm a follower of Jesus. But it's a one-time thing, but sometimes people doubt and sometimes assurance is needed. But that was my journey of following Jesus.
That's so cool. So God knew that you needed to know when that decision was permanent, final.
Yeah.
And that was the time it seems to me like God would have opened up your heart and the pathway to get you into the ministry that he's called you into.
Yeah. And so I was thinking about how, you know, you're ministering to those that are fatherless and you've called it America's silent crisis. Why do you think that this issue has remained so, like, you know, under the radar, so to speak? And it's just kind of out there a little bit here and there. And we know that there's, issues with people not having fathers, but why is this not being addressed?
Well, we found in our ministry that there were so many more statistics put out. I mean, they're still in there whenever they, you know, they do surveys and things like that. They're still in there, kind of hidden deep within studies and, but they're not put out like they used to be. You know what I mean? The government used to put them out there publicly, like, hey, this is what's going on with fatherlessness. Mm-hmm. And they used to write it, but honestly, I personally believe that they use it for their own agendas. And so they want to keep a grip on the fatherless. You can see in the communities what's going on in our country with crime and all the different things that are happening. You can see that they have a grip on the fatherless across our nation. And so it's no secret. A lot of them become a statistic. There's all kinds of studies out there. I don't know if you want me to share some statistics
or
not.
Please.
But, you know, there's all kinds of numbers out there. 85% of youth in prisons grew up in fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated with displaced anger come from fatherless homes. You know, the issue such as abortion is a hot topic today. And we want to, you know, we should try to help people not have abortion or, you know, do those things. But what do we, how do we prevent it, right? How do we prevent them even having to make that choice? 71% of pregnant teenage girls come from fatherless homes.
Wow.
71%.
Wow.
And then some people think, well, it's, you know, it's a certain race or a certain economic background. But there's one, another study that says a white teenage girl from an advantaged background is 5 times more likely to become a teen mother if she grows up in a single mother household than if she grows up in a household with both biological parents. Mm. You know, as like said about crime. So why are kids committing crime? Why are they, you know, girls going down the path of teen pregnancy? You know, studies with education. Why are they going down this path? There's one study that says in studies involving over 25,000 children using national representative data sets, children who lived with only one parent had lower grade point averages, lower college aspirations, poor attendance records, and higher dropout rates than students who lived with both parents. I mean, there's so many studies you can look at. Wow. Why is this going on? Well, one of the things that we see with our ministry is dads provide security to girls. And so when dad's not there to teach a girl, hey, I love you. I care about you. You're my daughter. I believe in you. You're my treasure. You're my princess. When he's not there to do that, they look for that somewhere else. And so we end up seeing teen pregnancy. We end up seeing them get, you know, men taking advantage of them, things like that. Boys, they become, they are taught how to be respectable with their dads. And so when they have a good dad in their life, their dad teaches them how to respect themselves, how to respect authority, how to respect a girl, how to respect people at their job, how to be a respectable person in their community and society. When they don't have that dad to teach them respect, they look for that father figure. And a lot of times they get it in a gang, they get it in a group of friends, they get it at school, and they end up getting put down a path of searching for that. How do I become a man? You know, how do I become a man? And the world gives them all these methods and they never learn how to be a respectable person. And so we're seeing that with guys and girls. I mean, there's all kinds of things coming from this because when they don't have a mom or a dad in their life is off balance. When mom and dad are in their life, they're respectable people, their life is in balance. But if you look at it as a scale, their life is off balance. And then we expect these kids, oh, you should turn out fine. You're living off balance, but you should turn out fine. And we as Christians, we as, you know, people in the church, we can help bring God to them, help mentor them and bring their life back into balance. And that's, so we call it, I mean, it's the number one social epidemic in our nation. And a lot of it's coming from the root of not having a dad in their life.
Yeah. And also another silent crisis is loneliness, which coincides with the fatherless home. But also, what about even the absentee father, or absentee mother? You know, that's even though they're maybe in the home, they're always working, or maybe you deal with that too. Anyway,
yeah, they're not fully engaged. Yeah.
We've had, that's one of the things that people come to our, like when I speak at churches or conferences, we have a ton of people, like, I mean, countless people come up and say, Sean, I had a dad in my house. He was there. I grew up with him, but I basically felt like I was fatherless. We've had so many people tell us that. Mm. And what they're saying is my dad was physically present, but he was mentally, emotionally, or spiritually absent. They don't know how to word it like that, but that's basically what they're saying. Their dad was there. Maybe he provided a home for them, but he didn't act like he cared at all. He didn't act like he loved them. He didn't nurture them emotionally and mentally and spiritually. He just wasn't there. And so then they go down this path of, I had a dad that every day rejected me. And so that's very challenging. And so we look at the numbers of fatherlessness and we're like, oh, it's 20 some million people in the United States, which I still think those numbers are skewed because somehow they've gone down, which I do not believe that. I honestly don't believe the numbers there because there's kids that they're living with their grandparents or living with relatives. They're not being recorded, things like that. I think it's way over 30 million personally after all the study we've done. But
and is
I also
there a year
think,
that all that started a year that there was kind of a turning point where fathers started to be absent from the home? Do you know?
I honestly believe in
60s?
Like this. Yeah, that was like the 60s, you know, during the, you know, different revolutions and things like that that went on. I mean, all the stuff that happened in the 60s, the hippie days. And honestly, baby boomers.
Yeah. I was going to say, I would guess it coincides with that period of time where divorce really started to take off and become rampant, even within the church. And then you ended up with a lot of, single family parents or single parents, I should say. So, that's pretty understandable. And you've heard all the statistics, which are staggering. But I think the reality is, even if we grew up in a home with a father, there's somebody we know that's close to us, either a relative, a neighbor, a coworker, you know, who had that experience of growing up in a fatherless home. I mean, I think about your dad.
Yeah, my dad didn't years have ago, his dad.
He was raised without a dad.
My daughter, dad's a great dad.
My daughter and four of my grandchildren raised by a single mom without a dad in the home. So we're able to see a little bit of the impact that that has. But you and your wife have traveled the country. You've heard thousands of stories. Is there any one in particular that kind of surfaces on your mind or even still moves you today about a fatherless home?
I mean, we've seen countless. One of the things that we, I don't know if it's just a general story, but we're seeing with our single mom groups. So we started, like I said earlier, we went to Las Vegas and we went out there to do a project. We thought we were going to start Bible clubs and work partner with this local church out there after we traveled in the RV. And while we were there, and I guess this would be about her story. There was this teacher there that was working in the Christian school that went to the church we were partnering with, and she just looked worn out. And she's a single mom. She was teaching in the school, just doing her best, trying to figure things out. So we're like, you know what? We just want to help you. And we felt the Lord was leading us to take our devotional, our single mom devotional that we had, and just start a small group basically for single moms. And so for this single mom, her name was Kim, we created this group. And then we put it out on Facebook and we said, hey, anybody interested in coming to this group? This church was, you know, ran over 1,000 people, around 1,000 people in Las Vegas. And it was a, you know, pretty big church out there. And so we launched this group. It was on a Wednesday night when they already had childcare provided for all ages. And we just kind of just saw what happened. And we put it out on Facebook. We had about 30 single moms across Vegas connect to that group because they were looking for community. And so not just for Kim, but all these other moms. We had moms that weren't even going to church that just, hey, I want something like this. And they would come and we would work through that book. Yeah, exactly. Support. And we would provide snacks and we would just sit down and go through the book. And even for me being a guy, I'm not a single mom, not a lady. It was kind of awkward sometimes, but usually I was kind of like their pastor. That's kind of what it became. And so I'm in there just kind of mentoring them, discipling them. My wife and I taught the class together and it went really, really well. And it was because of Kim, and we've seen transformation. Kim's one of her daughters just graduated high school. And then we saw different families. Like one of the ladies that didn't go to church, and she was this mom that would drive 30 minutes across Las Vegas to come to this group on Wednesday nights. And then she got connected to the church. Then she got saved. She got baptized in the church. She's a member of the church now. She's getting involved because of that single mom group. And so we took that group and we started launching them across the country. We recorded all the curriculum and we said, anybody else want to start a single mom group? We had churches that we had spoken at, we reached out to them, and we had about 9 other churches that were willing to start single mom ministries. And so we not just in Vegas, but we tried it in rural Indiana, close to Carmel, Indiana, but it's in the Zionsville, Indiana. It's like a rural area in middle of cornfields. And they started the church because we were wondering, would it just work in big city format or does it work in all formats? And they had that church there in the middle of cornfields had about 10 single moms every week for a whole year when they first started. And so they consistently wanted to be connected. So that's one of our stories is because of that one mom.
Yeah.
And we were able to start this group. Now we have single moms all over the country getting connected every week to a church through these single mom ministries.
So good. So good. So, I mean, obviously community with like-minded people who've had the same experience is hugely helpful, especially within the Christian context. And I know that there is unbelievable pressure on single moms and single dads. And I'm guessing even though this is so prevalent, you know, more so for fatherless homes where it's a single mom's responsibility, I know that in, you know, in the last 10 to 15 years, there are also a growing number of single dad homes without mothers in them. And I'm certain the resources that you've created would also be very helpful and applicable to those single dads. So I want to make sure that I'm letting everybody know we're very aware of, like I was a single dad for 10 years. So I know the challenges that are there, but there are resources. And the best thing, just as Sean was saying, is community. Yeah. That's what really makes the difference.
For sure. For sure. I mean, I was a single mom for 8 years. I mean, it was my church community that made the difference. Great. You know, your message, Sean, is God is my dad, right? And that's powerful. It's deeply personal. But my question to you is, you know, a fatherless child maybe can't really relate to the word dad at all. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, the Bible says that God will be our Abba Father. And if you look at the root of that, it's talking about he's our daddy. Yeah. And so God will be our dad. And he basically replaces our earthly dad. Even if we have a good dad, God is still a way better dad than any, the best dad ever. Amen. You know what I mean? And so that's how we look at it. So the reason why we started God as My Dad was because for years we were doing this for like 9 years, I think it was, we had this negative, we were always talking about the negative of fatherlessness, and we were looking for something positive, a positive spin on it. And we thought, how do we word this? And I feel like God gave us, you know, God is my dad. God will be my dad if through Jesus Christ, through a personal relationship with Jesus, he'll fill the gap. God will fill any gap and hole in our life if we let him. Same with not having a dad. If you have a bad dad, a dad that didn't care, God will fill the hole. I'm here to testify about that. Mm-hmm. And I literally, in the name that we have, I literally own that myself. And so it's not like we're just saying this and we're not being hypocritical about it. I get up every day and I talk to God as if he's my earthly dad. And because I don't have that, you know, I don't have a birth dad like that. And so I can't go to him and call him on the phone, but I can talk to the Lord. And so anybody that's listening to this, if you don't have a dad or if you don't have a mom, God will fill the hole of that mom or dad in your life, or both. And he will help you. He'll provide joy. He'll provide peace. He'll encourage you. He'll guide you. If you let him, you have to let him. And you have to pursue him too. Like, he'll pursue you, but you also have to pursue him by download the Bible app, the free YouVersion Bible app. We actually have a page on there ourselves. We have devotionals on there. It's completely free. And read the Bible and learn about him, because he's your dad, and then walk with him. And if you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior, make that decision first. Mm. Follow God with your life, and then pray to him and talk to him about your problems and the things you're facing. Don't go through life feeling like you're alone. Loneliness is definitely something that we all face growing up without a dad or being a single parent. But you can overcome all these things through God. And so, yeah, God is my dad, something I own, but we preach that all over the country.
I love that.
I love it.
You may have already answered that in what you've just expressed here, but I'm wondering, when you do encounter people who, especially those who grew up in the fatherless home, and they're dealing with shame, they're dealing with anger and resentment and bitterness, and they read the Bible, but they don't quite seem to get through the trauma. How do you guide them into a place of healing and seeing purpose in it?
Well, I mean, Steve Arterburn's, his ministry used to say healing is a choice, right? And so we have to decide to heal. And like one of the examples, my dad, my birth dad, he decided to cope with the world's methods and wallow in his self-pity. So he would get drunk and be upset about his dad dying when he was 13. He would get drunk and complain about, he had a daughter die of crib death whenever he got married really young, first marriage, 17 years old. And then he had three kids in another marriage. So it's really all about perspective. Like, okay, maybe these bad things did happen to me in my past, but look at all the good things that are going on right now. Look at the relationship I can have with God. Look at the ways he's providing for me. And so a lot of it's about perspective. Now, sometimes you do need to find a psychological, you know, help through a biblical counselor or a psychologist, a Christian psychologist. If you need that, I would encourage you to go to get some extra help with that. Biblical counseling is great. Sometimes you need that to work through the different things. Sometimes we can't do it on our own. Sometimes just getting involved in church and reading your Bible and praying is enough. Sometimes you do need that. So whatever you need to do to get yourself on a healthy path, go down that path. But a lot of it is about perspective and saying, okay, my life would be way worse without the Lord. And how can I grow deeper in him? Because he's the one that's been there for me and sustaining me.
Yeah. Amen. You know, everything you just shared would be very applicable to that person who grew up in a home with a dad, but you've encountered them many times. They're still bitter, angry, resentful because it didn't feel like there was a very good dad. So the God is my dad idea, concept, reality has got so much potential for healing. And as Wendy mentioned earlier, for everybody, it's that idea of surrendering and then understanding how much God loves you and that he's very trustworthy.
Yeah. So I'm curious about what your thoughts are about the local church and the role that they're playing in filling this gap. Are they on point? Yeah, are they missing the mark? Or what could the local church do even better?
Well, one of the things is look at starting a single mom ministry. They're really simple. That we have all the curriculum we provide, and we'll guide you on how to start it. We have churches in Utah, Tennessee, Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Florida, Nevada. I mean, several states that have started single mom ministries, and we've seen great results from that. So we'll help you with it. So if you're interested in that, go to godismydad.com, go to the church section. We'll help you with that. If you don't want to start a single mom ministry, the next step underneath that is becoming part of our network. We're looking for churches that care about fatherless families. And so we would love to help you with that. We can give you some free resources. We can put you on our network map showing fatherless families when they're looking for a church. Hey, this church cares about us. They might not have a single mom ministry, which is okay, but they can have access to resources, and these churches can help promote godismydad.com or free mobile app and stuff like that. But I would just encourage churches, get involved. During different times of the year, look for ways to minister to single moms. You know, we've heard of churches doing oil changes for single moms, but there's other things you can do. And we have actually have some guides on our website of how you can minister to single moms throughout the year, different times. Maybe at the end of winter, you help them clean up their yard, or during the fall, you help them rake their leaves, and just different things you can help churches assist them, showing them God's love. We have all kinds of lists of things you can do: Christmas time, Mother's Day, Father's Day. And so definitely check out those free guides at our website. And if nothing else, just share God is my dad, godismydad.com, free videos, free content. It's a really easy way to help fatherless families out.
Just love the fact that you guys have got so many incredible resources. Mm-hmm. You've made it so simple. But I'm wondering, just as you've looked at all those resources, spent all that time creating them, is there any one particular tool or strategy that you feel has sort of risen to the top in terms of changing a family's trajectory?
Well, for single moms, fatherless families, like I said, the single mom groups, that's what we're really seeing. Because when that single mom gets discipled, it can change your whole life. So if you're a single mom listening to this, or a single dad, I want to encourage you to get plugged into a group, whether it's one of our groups or, you know, something. Get plugged into a small group at a church, grow in your faith, and that is really going to change your kid's life. When they see their parent following the Lord and deciding, hey, I'm going to go down this path, that right there is one of them. A lot of times we rely on the youth pastor or we rely on the teachers, but if the parent at home is living a consistent Christian walk, that's going to change their path. If you're a fatherless individual listening to this, or a motherless individual, start walking with God. Start reading one verse a day. That can change your life. Go on the Bible app. They have a verse of the day. Read that and try to understand, okay, what is God trying to teach me with that? Find the free plans that they have. They have all kinds of free plans. Start trying to walk with God, and you will not regret making that decision. I was actually at a conference recently hearing Granger Smith talking, and he's like, when his son drowned in the pool, and he said there, once I started reading the Bible and just getting in the Bible, it transformed my whole life, transformed my family. And I believe that. I'm the same way. I believe that the Bible and God can just transform our life. It doesn't have to be this magic formula. It's really just getting into God's word and praying and trusting the Lord, and he'll change your life.
Amen. Oh, man. Big amen on that. And you mentioned earlier too, just the role of mentors in your own life. And I'm just thinking, you know, for those who are listening, you have the opportunity to be a mentor. You may not be living it all right, but there are boys and girls around you who need role models and mentors. And I just want to challenge our listeners to keep your eyes wide open and to ask God, show me, God, who can I contribute or who can I invest in so that they can feel like they are loved by a human who is a
accepted,
dad.
Cherished. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
That's
well,
so
Sean,
true.
I just really appreciate your heart, and I appreciate all the resources you have, and godismydad.com for anyone that wants to go there, and I highly recommend that you do. But let's get involved, and I think that's the bigger thing. Let's all step up and do what we can do as individuals to just dismiss the silent crisis. It doesn't need to be here any longer. So what would you say as we wrap up our interview today? Maybe number one, your favorite scripture verse. And number two, is there just kind of a last kind of thing that you'd like to share to our audience that you haven't said yet?
Yeah, well, two verses I'm going to give. I'm going to give James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. In that verse, it tells us the solution to the entire problem in our nation is visiting the fatherless in your circle of influence. So if you're looking to figure out how to help, figure out how you can visit the fatherless that is in your life. The other one is Psalm 68:5, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows, or a protector of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God loves you so much that he's willing to be your dad, and he wants to father you if you'll let him. And he's a father to the fatherless, and he's a protector of the widows, a protector of single moms, widows around us. And he wants, in his holy habitation, that's what he does. That's what he is. I mean, obviously he does many other things, but that's what he is. And he loves us so much, and he cares about us. I love those two verses are really the core of my ministry and the core of my life. Yeah, definitely. And then our ministry, check out our resources. We're on YouVersion. We're on YouTube. We're on Instagram, Facebook. Connect with us. TikTok. Search for God Is My Dad. And we have all kinds of free devotionals, all kinds of free help. We just want to help you out on your journey.
Beautiful. Perfect. Perfect. Wow. Well, we appreciate you and your wife so much and your entire family as you have taken on this ministry and this call that God's put on your life. So God bless you. And we're getting the word out, man. We're getting the word out.
Thank you. We appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Sean.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we love spending time with you right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough Podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. But until then, just head on over to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com where you'll find some free resources and information and a place where you can comment, and we would love to dialogue with you there. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.